Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? That's pretty good. I'll give that like a 7.5. Let's try it one more time. How's everybody doing? It's better. 8.5. It's a little bit better. So, hey, go ahead and grab a seat, guys. My name is Mike Shallock, and I am the pastor here, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. We have a really, really special thing that we get to witness and be part of here as a church this morning. We actually get to do a baby dedication, so we're really excited for that. So, yeah. So we have an amazing family, and before I invite them up on the stage, I just want to say a little bit about them. Brett and Kelly Larson, I think a lot of you know them, so Brett's up here and Kelly's down in front. Actually, Kelly, why don't you guys go ahead and come on up here. We'll let Brett put his guitar down for just a second. Any family that wants to come up too or whatever you guys want to do, we're just going to invite you guys up on stage. Yeah, don't wreck with baby. That's good. Jonah, do you need help? So Brett, come over here. So these guys, I actually had the privilege of actually meeting Kelly probably before she met most everybody else, I think. So Kelly is a physician at St. Luke's that I get to work with, and I actually got to recruit her to come to Polson from Colorado, where she was at in her residency program, and had the honor of getting to meet them before they were ever parents. Kelly was actually pregnant at the time with Jonah, and we got to walk with them, Krista and I, as they moved up here and get to see them. Just as incredible examples of what it means to be godly parents. And there's really not a greater compliment that I can give than that. So these two people live out what it really means to actually walk out what it means to serve the Lord. And I think that's incredible. Brett has probably built 50% of this place at least. So he has spent a tremendous amount of time and dedication. And they are just two people who are servant-hearted, and I genuinely am grateful for their friendship, and we as a church are really blessed to have them as part of our congregation. So what we get to do today is they have this beautiful brand-new creation here, this gift from God. This is baby Magnolia Ray, and number one, let me give you a compliment. That's a cool name, so that's a different name. How many magnolias out there? Not a lot, right? So a really cool name, and she is absolutely beautiful. She came out with this full head of hair, as you guys can see. And grandparents, you getting good pictures here? We good? Okay. And what we're going to do, and what these guys asked me to do, actually, even I think before she was born, is they had talked about this idea of dedicating baby Magnolia to the Lord. And what that really means and why we do it as a church is a couple reasons. Number one, it's for them as parents, it's actually a covenant. I mean, it's a covenant between them and the Lord, saying that they as parents, in a public way, are declaring that they are going to raise this child to know Jesus. That's amazing. That's great. Amen. That's exciting. The second half of this is that we as the church also get to participate in this too, in that we get to surround them, we get to love them, we get to support them, we get to be there for them as they, as parents, go through this arduous trial of raising children. Any parents out there, right? It's not easy. But we get to be there for them, and we also get to help to basically help them raise this child, which is a really cool privilege and honor that we as the church body get to do. So what we're going to do now, as they have obviously in their hearts and minds already prayed about this and made the decision that they distinctly want to raise this child to know Jesus, what I'm going to do is we're going to all bow our heads, and if you guys do it right now, go ahead and do it, and we're going to pray over baby Magnolia and over Kelly, Brett, Jonah, and their whole family. Does that sound good? If you guys feel comfortable too, you can extend a hand out towards them. And the purpose behind that extending the hand out is just letting them know that you're praying for them, just asking for the Holy Spirit to be upon them. So if you feel comfortable with your heads bowed now, you can extend that arm out. And then we're just going to pray over this entire family. God, we just lift up Brett and Kelly and Jonah and baby Magnolia. She is so beautiful. Just thank you for the blessing, for the gift that she is to them. And that they just recognize that she's a gift from you, Lord. Just thank you for Brett. Thank you for Kelly. Thank you for their hearts to be servants, Lord, that they want to serve you more than anything else. And in doing so, they want to raise this child to know you and to love you and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I just pray, Father, that you would give them the wisdom to do that, that you would give them the patience to do that, that you would just help to fill them with your Holy Spirit in this household, Lord, that they would be blessed and that they would walk each day out in knowing you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that it is to get to walk side by side with them. We just lift this beautiful baby girl, Magnolia, up to you. They dedicate her life to you, and they, as parents, again, wish to follow you wholly in all they do in raising her. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Can we give it up for these guys? So, love you guys. All right. Well, a couple quick things. We take this time now as a church, if you're new here, number one, to recognize and say thank you for coming. So if you are new here, thank you so much for being here. We'd like to just welcome you. We're excited to have you. Number two, can we thank our worship team? They did an amazing job today. Such a great job. We have David Caselli, who's our guest drummer over here too. Thank you, David, for stepping in today. And what we're going to do now, guys, again, is we're going to take just a couple minutes and we're going to dismiss our kids back to kids ministry. So go ahead and do that 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe say hi to a neighbor, grab a cup of coffee. We'll be back right here in just a few. Go ahead and do that. If we can wrangle people back in, that needs to be a job. I need a people wrangler. Aaron Luver, you can wrangle people. That's good. All right, thank you, Brett and Chris. These guys can just keep playing the whole time. They sound great. I know, right? It's good. I have to pick on my brother any chance I get. So he's trying to tune his guitar now. So and he's just completely ignoring me is what he's doing. So. All right. Well, guys, today we have an amazing guest speaker. I like the word amazing. So amazing is all-encompassing. So when I think about this guy, his name is Andrew Russell, first of all. Some of you may know him. I like the woos. You can give some woos for Andrew Russell. Let's listen to more woos. So the more woos, the better. That's good. So he's a guy who I've got to know over the last year, and for those of you who know Andrew, he has actually stepped up and taken over as the principal of the Mission Valley Christian Academy, and he's done an amazing job of stepping into this role. And this role is not just like you're going to go half-heartedly into this. This is like you are all in, totally, basically engaged with these kids. And the one thing that I can tell you that I have got to observe by Andrew that I just really love and respect, he loves kids. And he really loves them so well. And I think that's so cool. My two nieces go to school out there, and they talked about like just how he is so interactive with them and how much they just love going to see him. And I think that's one of the greatest characteristics. If you see somebody where kids love them, they're probably a pretty cool person, right? So kids, they're not going to stick around if that person's not fun to be around. So he's somebody who I just immensely respect. I'm going to invite him up to the stage. And if you guys would just welcome with me Andrew Russell. I just want to say one or two more quick things about him. He also, I know, now I got him up here. So he also, you know, as if he's not busy enough, he stepped up and I asked him actually earlier this year, I said, would you consider maybe speaking a weekend or two? So and I kind of said, or two, with the reality check of it'll probably be one at the most. And he goes, yeah, I'll do two weekends. So I love that. So he's somebody who's totally willing to step up. He's willing to serve in any capacity that he's asked to, and he is a phenomenal leader. So can you guys just welcome again Andrew Russell one more time?
Thank you, Mike. But I'm going to start with, I love the Lord first, before anything and everything else, and that's what makes everything else so easy in life. But yeah, that was a lot. So, but yeah, Mike did ask me quite a few months ago if I would speak, and I was like, yeah, I could do one, probably in the summer. I didn't say two initially, I said one. But thank you for that. But I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to talk about or what the Lord wanted me to talk about. And as I was praying through it, you know, a lot of things would be like, I want to talk about this. And I would be praying about it, and I'd just be like, no, that's not it. And, you know, I mean, I really was, I mean, sometimes just blatantly like, no, that's totally what I want to talk about. It is not at all what the Lord wants me to talk about. So, oddly enough, in the last like 4 weeks, each of the things I wanted to talk about has been preached on in the last 4 weeks here. So it's great. And George, you got one of the ones I wanted. So, but I think that's just the way that the Lord works with us, you know? So for me, every time he kind of pushed me back to Jonah. And it's funny because over the last 10 years, I have been drawn back to the book of Jonah over and over and over again, because there's so much there to learn, and so many of the mistakes that I've made in my life and in my walk with God can really be picked through in Jonah. So that's kind of where I went. And then the other thing is Mike kind of opened the door last week, right? He read one whole chapter, so I'm going to do two. So we had talked about this, and I am going to do a second one after the Action Sunday, but it's so that we can get through the entire book of Jonah. So with that, I'm going to quickly pray, and then we will read God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to worship you, Lord, to come together to sing your praises, Lord, and then to read your word to us, Lord, that you've given so much to us in your Son, in your life, and given each of us these children that we have. Lord, just your entire creation is so amazing, and we are in awe of you every moment of every day. Lord, I just pray that everything here is yours, not mine. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so reading from ESV, Jonah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. When the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down in the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us, that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where did you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains I went down to the land whose bars closed over me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pray regard vain, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. It's a lot there. And I think from our childhood days, we all remember that there's a big fish, and Jonah's in it for 3 days, and it spits him out. And that's about it. But there's a whole lot to what happens here. And I want to start off by just looking at verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah was a prophet of Israel, so he talked with the Lord regularly, right? And God will speak to us too. For Jonah, he was kind of we call him a prosperity prophet, if we want to. So the only reference we have to him is two in the Bible. One is Jesus saying that that's the sign that Israel would get about him being the Messiah. And the other is in 2 Kings 14:25, that the king they're talking about here is Jeroboam II. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath Hepher. That's what we get to know about Jonah, other than what Jonah shared with us here in this book. So Jonah is a prosperity prophet. If you've read through Kings, you know that there's a lot of false prosperity prophets throughout that time that would say good things, and the kings loved them because everybody wants to hear good things about what's going to happen, right? Jonah, he was one of those, and it all came true, so he gets one sentence in the book, right? But it's whenever he faltered in listening to the Lord that he ended up getting, right, this entire book that he wrote about his experience here. And, right, God speaks to all of us. I think at the same time I've said, you know, God has not called me to anything. But if you look at Matthew 28:18-20, right, Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus has called us all, right? He's called us all to go and to share his good news, to share his story. I wasn't listening to God for years. You know, that's why whenever he was talking to me, I wasn't listening. Started off with, I wasn't reading my Bible. Right? If you want to hear the Lord speak to you, start off with the words that he gave us, right? So if you really want to listen to the Lord, you need to seek out his word, and it's all over the place. In fact, if you don't even have it, you can get it online for free. You can get it in an app on your phone for free. And if you would prefer a paper copy, we will provide you one here from the church for free. Right? You have to read the Bible to know God. So he's called us. He's called us all. Jesus did it. Right? We have to pray. We have to talk to God. I don't know how many people communicate very well. I'm not always the best. I'm not the best listener. Probably part of why I didn't hear God very often. Early in my life, my wife could tell you how terrible I am at listening, for sure. But there's talking at someone, and there's communicating with someone. And our prayer needs to be communication. If we're just talking at God, and we're not listening for him to respond, then we're not really having a we're not really communicating with God. You know, when I think about this and the calls, right? About 8 years ago, we were in Illinois. For those of you who don't know, the other reason that Jonah kind of appeals to me is I was in the Navy for 25 years. So, we were in Illinois, and with our small group, we were having a discussion about, you know, being called to different things. And I was in a discussion with one of the other men. We were talking about, you know, our families and how important our family life is and everything else. We were talking about how he felt every now and then like he might be getting called to missions or overseas somewhere, but he knew it was just more of a feeling that he was having, and it couldn't be God, because God would never call him to, you know, leave his family for the places that he was feeling like he was being called to. At the time, I was kind of in agreement with him, but I realized over the years that, you know what, we will be called to do things that are uncomfortable. We'll be called to do things that will not be understood by anybody else. We'll be called to do things that seem out of the ordinary, right? Abraham was called to sacrifice his son. You know, there's so many calls in the Bible that just seem so crazy that people are called to things. And at the same time, about a month later, there was another family in our church that they felt like they were called to sell everything, their home, everything they owned, and they went off overseas to be missionaries, and they did it. In about a month's time, they sold everything, packed it all up, and went. When God speaks, listen, right? When God speaks, obey. I would say that the title I put on this one is Discerning Truth, right? For Jonah, I want to talk about what discernment is in my mind, right? It's discerning. It's not just knowing what truth is, but choosing it. That's discernment, right? It's not just knowing right, but it's doing right. That's what discernment really is. It's that difference between speaking about our belief and living it out. So for this, and all throughout this, we can remember that Jesus right here called us to go, right? Our belief is exemplified by that action. Jesus tells us to go. The next slide I put up, I don't know if it already went there, right? It's our failure. This is a quote from Dallas Willard. It's one of my favorites, to be honest. Our failure to hear his voice when we want to is due to the fact that we do not, in general, want to hear it, that we want it only when we think we need it, right? This is very much me. Previously, I would tell you that much. I would only seek out Jesus when I felt I needed him, right? Spare tire Jesus, we'll call it, right? Broken down on the side of the road, okay, Jesus. All right, let me go get you out of the trunk. Here's my Bible, okay. All right, God, what do I do now? Where are we at? Right? It kind of made me think of the country song, right? Jesus, take the wheel. I don't even remember who sang it, so I'm sorry, but right? So it's kind of like, I'm all screwed up. I'm out of control. Okay, Jesus, now you got it. Right? It's that spare tire Jesus, you know? And I kind of was thinking about that, and I was like, maybe we just need to put Jesus in control on the wheel all the time. We can get in the back seat, and I guarantee you it's going to be a much better view. Right? And we can just go where he takes us, where he tells us to go. Right? By actively listening to God and seeking out his words to each one of us, right? By reading our Bible and praying, we can seek counsel with the church. If you remember George's message that we need to be in this together, it's not just about me. We've all been called to action. We need to go. So Jesus, so Jonah, right? In verse 3, he rose up. Is he going to go? Yeah, he's going to go away, his own way. So if you don't know, Tarshish in this is kind of outside. You have to go through the Med and out of the Rock, past the Rock of Gibraltar and around Spain on that side. So at this point in time, really, this would be the end of the earth in their perspective. So not only am I going to run, I'm running as far away as I possibly can. He went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He's a prophet. He knows God's word. So I put up Psalms up here, right, 139, that you cannot escape from the presence of the Lord. Jonah knows the word. He knows that he can't do it, but he wants to go his own way. Why do we go our own way? Why don't we obey God when he talks to us? And I think really for Jonah, there's two primary reasons that we learn later on in this book. And I think one is fear, and the other is anger. So Nineveh is it's a city in Assyria at this time, not quite the capital yet, but it's very close to the capital. And they're enemies of Israel. The Assyrians, they're known for their cruelty to prisoners, which was primarily the Israelites. And they are known for idol worship, all kinds of idol worship. So I was trying to think of what that would be like today, and it would be like me getting a call from God right now, say, Andrew, go to Tehran and speak out against the city. I mean, that even makes the hair on the back of my head stand up a little bit, right? I mean, that's pretty much what he was told. So is it just the fear? You know, but there's also the loyalty to America, to, for me, or for him, to Israel, right? This is enemy number one. Do I want to really go there and possibly lead them back to forgiveness from God? No, I want God to condemn them, right? I mean, let's be honest. That's possibly a thought in his mind. But as Jesus said, go, therefore, to all nations, right? Is our allegiance to Christ or to a flag, to a country? Are we Christians first before we're Americans? We know the truth, but do we want to choose it? Jonah chose himself right here, right? That's what I often do. My fears, pride, myself get in the way. But when you really think about it, Jesus was also given a choice, and he chose to obey. Right, in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, Jesus prayed to God, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours. Jesus chose to obey to save us. It's now our time to go and obey him. So there it is. Jonah's on the ship, but things are changing now. I'm going to skip ahead a couple verses. Right, he's asleep down in the ship, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's not very easy to sleep in a ship in a storm. I can tell you from personal experience, I have had some very sleepless nights trying to sleep on a ship in a storm. But he's fast asleep, so much so that someone has to come wake him up. And I think it was probably some shock in that, you sleeper, like, how can you sleep? But they call out to him, right? Who are you? Why? What evil have you done? But he responds, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Right? In times of trouble, everyone will claim their Lord. Maybe this world, maybe themselves, maybe Jesus. Even when we're separated from God due to sin, if you're a child of God, you're going to seek him out when you need him. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny that before my Father who's in heaven. So that which controls our hearts and our minds, that will be our Lord. Who or what is your master? Right? These sailors at this point, it's kind of that old foxhole saying, right? There's no atheists in foxholes, right? For the sailors, they're seeking any spare tire God they can find. But that's one of the reasons that God puts trials and tribulations in our lives. For us and for those who don't believe, he says it's a time when we may seek him out because we need him. So there is some good in it. But how do you discern what is your master? So there's five questions. I actually got this from a professional development training with the teachers at the school that we did, and I really, really liked it. So what are your loves? What are you habitually intimate with? Those are your loves. Is it your Bible? Prayer? Is it Facebook? Is it your family? Kids? You know, those are your loves. What are my longings? What do you daydream about? What are your imaginations? What are my loyalties today? Right? We have to ask that daily. What are my loyalties today? Am I loyal to God today? Or am I loyal to lining my bank account? Am I going to be honest, or am I going to cheat and steal so that I can make more money on this deal? Right? Sometimes I have to ask myself that question 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. What are my labors and why? What's the goal of our work? Is it just to make more money so we can get more stuff? You know, and what are my liturgies? It's a kind of become an off word today, but it's really what are my habits and my rhythms? Do I wake up every day and read the Bible? Do I say prayers? Do I spend time with the Lord, or do I spend time, get up, get on my Facebook, go through that? Am I happy and content in Christ, or do I never even think of him? That's how we can figure out who our master is. So on the next slide, right? Nevertheless, the men rowed harder to get back to dry land, but they could not. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. Jonah was not innocent. None of us are. Romans tells us that, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Unbelievers, in this point right here, they recognize the value of human life, right? Even when, well, most importantly, when their own is on the line, right? Right back to the foxholes. And at this point, though, Jonah has put their lives in danger with his sin, and yet they're still wanting to spare his life, right? The whole world, the culture, everything around us, they want us to believe that life is about us. It's about me, right? Our focus likes to, our culture likes to focus on rights. It's my right. It's your right. The Bible tells us to focus on those who have no voice and don't, and we need to speak for their rights, right? The widows, the motherless, the fatherless. What about abortion? What about the unborn? It's not about a choice. It's not about rights. It's about life. The only choice that is discerning the truth and choosing the truth. I'm going to make it back to the point here, right? The story, this life, it's not about us. It is this entire life, every single one of ours, is about God. Jonah's life here, this is about God. This isn't about Jonah, right? It's his creation and everything to his glory. You know, Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. John 3:16, in the Greek, you could translate it, instead of for God so loved the world, you could translate that as God so loved creation. See, it's not just about us. tell you my story is pretty boring. I bought into the culture, right? It was all about success, right? With power, positions, money, things, stuff. Really, for me, not anymore. Right? It's about how Christ changed everything for me. I no longer really care what the world thinks of me. But I do care that they see that I'm changed because of what Jesus has done for me. That was unfathomable. Just completely couldn't even fathom doing that or feeling that way when I was younger. And it's all about to change for Jonah too, right? So they picked him up, they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is it right here on the next one. All glory and all honor is to God. Even in our sin, God will be glorified. In Jonah's sin, God's glorified. These men who had no idea who God was, they learned firsthand who God is. That's why we can focus on him and not on what others think. Right? There's a few verses here. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare his glory. Revelation 4:11, he is worthy of our praise. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you know, Jesus paid your price, so glorify him with your body. I think that's one that Pastor Mike just talked about last week, right? We're going to fall short. Jesus didn't. I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. I'm secure in God, not in anything else in this world. And then think about it. We talk about this, right? God looks at each of us. And he sees Jesus. Right? As believers, God doesn't look at our sin and see what we've done. He doesn't look at our past, our fears, our anger, any of that stuff. What he looks at, when he looks at us, he looks at us with love and with care. And he sees that perfection, the love of Christ. And that's how we can dwell securely in this life. Jonah's about to grasp it, though, right? Spare tire's coming out for Jonah. Because at that lowest point in our life, God is faithful. Right? One thing I really like about the poetry of Jonah is there at the beginning, right? He chooses not to follow God, so he goes down to Joppa, goes down into the ship, goes down into a deep sleep. Now he's going to go down in the ocean and down into the belly of the fish. But at our lowest points, God's faithful. He has mercy and he has love for each one of us. So let's talk about Jonah's prayer. And Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke, and the fish, it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. I kind of like that translation, right? It didn't just spit him out. No, it vomited him up. All right, on a little sidebar here. I used to tell my kids that it was like, you know, here comes the fish, and it spits him out, and he dumps up on the beach, and then the surfers come out like, yo, dude, we totally just saw that happen, but dude, you stink, man. And then they were like, there's no surfers then. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, right? This prayer, though, it's a very real and direct, right, prophecy of Jesus, right? This could be Jesus' prayer as he dies on the cross. And it's one of those things that a lot of people like to just focus on that. But I think there's more to it here as well for Jonah, especially, who did not know about Jesus, right? Jonah prays, right? And he acknowledges that God will hear us and he will help us even when we're running from him. Even when we're at death's door, God's listening. Notice Jonah doesn't blame anyone else for his sin. He doesn't try to blame the sailors for throwing him over the side. In fact, even back then, he wasn't talking to God. He didn't pray and ask God what he needed to do. He knew that death was what he deserved for disobeying God. Right? He accepts that God has cast him out because of his sin. He asks God to forgive him, right? Remember, too, what we learned with George, right? And Paul calls us to do as a church with unrepentant sinners. Cast them out in the hope and love that they will repent, right? It's not just that we cast people out of the church because we just want to get rid of them. No, it's because we want them to realize that they're sinning. We want them to come back to the Lord. Like I said, the trials and tribulations that God puts in our lives, it's not because he wants us to be hurt or anything else. It's because he wants us to turn back to him because we are not always focused on him. Right? In verse 6, yet you brought my life from the pit. Right? That's what Jesus has done for us. In our sin and everything else, once we accept Jesus and we accept what he did for us on the cross, we're taken from that pit. And every time that God looks at us, he sees Jesus. That's the way we've been forgiven. There's no going back on you're not good enough or you forgot this or you forgot that. Even the sins that you're going to commit are forgiven. But there's something here for Jonah, honestly, that kind of lingers. If you look at verse 8, it's one that kind of always come back to me too, because you know you still got to get a jab in at those you don't like, right? Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. Nineveh's lost. Lord, I don't need to go to Nineveh. They're done. Let's forget about it. But with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Right? Lord, you've taken me away from death, and I'll give my life to you. Even to go to Nineveh and talk to those who sacrifice to vain idols. Right? You know, our very existence in this life, in this day, yesterday, tomorrow, you know, so many people talk about what their plans are, everything else, every day belongs to the Lord. It's his. Our life is his. Our existence is due to him, to his grace and mercy for us. Maybe we need to think about our vow of our life for him. So, right, we get a little bit from Jonah there, that hatred of the Ninevites, the anger that we'll talk about in a couple weeks. But you know, hate and anger, it puts other lives in danger. He refused to go to the Ninevites and share God's word. He put the lives of the sailors in danger, along with his own. His loyalties were not necessarily to God first. Right? Is it to God or country? Is it to God or our family? Is it hunting and fishing? Money? Yourself? Power? What are the possible vain idols that we have in our lives, right? And that takes us right back to those five questions, right? What are our loves? What are our longings? What are the loyalties? What are our labors? And what are our liturgies? It's where discernment, right? Knowing truth and choosing truth knowing what's right and choosing what's right is more important over feelings, because our feelings change. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6:24. So what am I putting before the great I am? You know, Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Right? That's what it's about. Jesus first. Always and all the time, Jesus first. No questions, no arguments. Right? Are you sure, God? Tehran? That's really it? Think about the disciples when they were called. What did they do? They left. They followed. There were some others that were mentioned. Let me first go bury my father. Nope, not good enough. Right? First, let me do this, or, you know, can I do this? No. When you're called, you go. Go, therefore. In serving Christ first, we're going to put others before ourselves. Right? The desire of our heart should turn into serving. Serving him and his children. Desiring for those who don't know him to know him through us. So that I don't keep going forever, get to the take-home points. So we've all been called. We have to listen for his voice and learn to recognize him by reading his word. We have to pray. And it's about communication. Communication's not one way. We have to listen. Right? Jesus isn't a spare tire. We need to give him control all the time. I'm telling you, if you get in the back seat and the view is amazing, just watching it go by. Right? What controls us, we will acknowledge as Lord. That takes us right back to those five questions. In the end, it's all about Jesus, right? In Luke 24:27, he meets the two disciples on the road, walks with them, and he explains to them how all of the law and the prophets from Moses forward are all about him. He will be glorified even when we sin. Sin is the fault of the sinner. Don't blame anyone else. There are victims. Right? The sailors, they're kind of victims of Jonah. Sin will have victims, and there will be people that are hurting and torn up because of other people's sin. And we need to turn that hate and that anger over to God. Right? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not on us. We need to continue to love him and allow him to take care of us. Obey God first and think of others before ourselves. Which is like the perfect segue into next week, right? Right? So one thing that's awesome about Mission Church, right, is that we do Action Sundays. And next Sunday is our Action Sunday. And that's actually going to break up between this really long sermon and the next really long sermon. So we're going to go just out to the community, and we're just going to serve people. We're going to love on them the way that Christ loves on us. Right? So if this is your first time here, we want you back next week to come here, meet up with us, and then we're going to go out and we're going to just serve. You know, you can also ask how you can serve here at the church. I'll let Pastor Mike tell you about the different groups we have, but there's different ways you can serve here too. And I would say, ask yourself those five questions, right? What are your loves? What are your longings? What are your loyalties? What are your labors? What are we working for? And what are our habits? Remember, discernment. Finding the truth and choosing it is more important than how you feel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're only going to know the truth if you read his word. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian and you would like to know more, I would say right after we get done praying, you know, come up, talk to my Pastor Mike or any of the leaders here. You can seek me out. But I want to close in prayer right now. We'll have the worship team come back up. But I just want to thank every one of you for allowing me to be here. I just want to pray for all of us. Lord, we know that we are imperfect and that we are only perfected through you. Lord, we pray that you would watch over each and every one of us this day. And Lord, we just thank you that we're able to worship you, to rejoice in your name, Lord, and to glorify you. Lord, we pray that in all that we do, you would be glorified and that we would be seeking out you so that you can be glorified even more. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.